Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. It's Friday, November 21st, 2014, and I'm Leanne McAdoo. Here are tonight's top stories.
Tonight, as Obama betrays the Founding Fathers' fallout from his amnesty plan through executive order begins, and the GOP announces a lawsuit for rewriting federal law. Plus, corrupt police collude with Mexican drug lords in a massive student massacre in southern Mexico. All that plus updates from Ferguson up next on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, he did it, folks. He said he was going to use his pen and his phone, and he did. Obama made his big prime time announcement that he's taking everything into his own hands and announces executive amnesty, of course, which is going to allow up to 5 million illegal aliens, undocumented immigrants to stay in the country and work without fear of deportation. Now, basically, anyone that wants to talk out about this is going to be against keeping the families together, because that's what he was very specific to say, that that's what this was all about, keeping families together. And if you're against that, well, you're a racist. Well, that's what this is not about. It is not about that at all. This is about the fact that he has now swept up all of this power into the executive branch. It's not about being against the families who are going to benefit from this plan. It is about this precedent that the president has now set for all future dictators in training. Now, USA Today calls it the wrong way to do the right thing. And they say that this announcement amounts to executive overreach. By taking such a broad action through executive order, Obama has set a precedent for future presidents. And as hard as it might be for Democrats to believe, someday there will be a Republican president, and that president could use an executive order to suspend enforcement of laws such as the Obamacare tax penalty for not buying health insurance. Or, of course, they could revoke Obama's plan and resume deportations, putting all of these illegal aliens who are now coming out of the shadows in danger. Basically saying that these people that are going to come out of the shadows are going to be in a sort of limbo. Now, Obama has said many times that taking things into his own hands and taking this action on his own would be against the way our system works. He said it's not how our democratic system works, but he went ahead and did it anyway. Now, Republicans are saying that they're going to sue. They've actually launched a lawsuit against the president today, charging that he has abused his authority with executive actions on health care and immigration. Now, not only did the president rewrite the health care law by delaying the employer mandate, but the lawsuit also challenges the legality of payments that are being made by the White House to insurance companies, which is designed to lower consumers' out-of-pocket costs. Now, Republicans are saying that the money for these payments was not appropriated by Congress. Now, Speaker Boehner is basically saying that if this president can get away with making his own laws, future presidents are also going to have the ability to as well. The House has an obligation to stand up for the Constitution, and that is exactly why they are pursuing this course of action. And so, of course, this is the real danger with executive amnesty. It's already been hard enough for Congress to wrestle back power that the presidents in the past have taken to just launch war indefinitely with other countries without getting congressional approval. They've already not stood up to that happening. Now we have a president who's saying, well, you're not moving fast enough on immigration, and I don't like it, so I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want. What are presidents in the future going to do? That is the real danger. That is what everyone is so upset about with this sweeping amnesty, with this executive action that the president has taken. It's not about being against families and, you know, wanting to break families up. With this move, Obama has passed the Rubicon. Now, the argument that's being given by John Boehner is that fixing the broken immigration system should be done, but through the democratic process. It says moving bills through the People's House, through the Senate, and then on to the president's desk. Now, a lot of people say, you know, well, there's so much gridlock, but our system is designed to have gridlock. It's designed to pass through this way so that every time there's not a re-election, the system isn't being upended and completely turned over based on whoever is setting the agenda for that day or for that term. This is why there is gridlock. It's designed to be this way. Now, Rand Paul is basically saying that President Obama is not above the law and he has no right to issue executive amnesty, saying his actions blatantly ignore the separation of powers and the principles our country was founded on. The president has said 22 times previously that he does not have the power to legislate on immigration. And then Paul goes on to say that I believe that immigration reform is needed. However, for true and effective reform, we must first secure the border. He says he's not going to sit idly by and let the president bypass Congress and our Constitution. Now, establishment Republicans are basically saying impeachment is off the table. They're worried that it could create a rallying point for Democrats, and then this would prop Hillary up to be a really strong contender for 2016. Of course, Judge Napolitano said that impeachment may be the only lawful remedy to Obama's amnesty program. So here we have a lot of people that are really upset. A lot of people don't know what's going on. Obviously, this is hotly contested, and it's not about being against families who are going to benefit from this. It's about reining in the power from this would-be dictator, because we're setting a precedent for all future presidents, all dictators in training. And seriously, how far does the president have to go? How many laws does he have to break before he will be impeached? That's the precedent that we need to set, is that if you become elected to become the president of the United States of America and you swear to uphold the oath of the Constitution and uphold the law of this land, and you don't do that, well, then you are going to be impeached. That's the precedent that we need to set. Now, moving on to Ferguson, we have an update. It's been very quiet there, but what the guys have brought us here today is that the city is planning for major civil unrest. Hospitals are saying that they're going to be prepared to lock down for at least a week. They're sending out memos to a lot of office buildings around the area. Now we know there are multi-levels of a hospital that are being set up to take care of not only the protesters, but also the police and the police officers' families as well. Here is Jakari Jackson and Joe Biggs updating David Knight earlier in the day.
We have our reporters in Ferguson, Missouri. We just talked to Joe Biggs. We're going to go back to Jakari Jackson there. They've been there all week observing the buildup to the grand jury verdict that is expected to be released today, at least perhaps as Joe was telling us, secretly or confidentially to the family of Michael Brown. That's probably not going to stay confidential. They expect this to erupt this weekend. We also have Paul Joseph Watson on the line with us as co-host from the UK. Let's go back to Ferguson to Jakari Jackson. Jakari.
Breaking news real quick. Barnes Christian Hospital has three floors that have been cleared out in anticipation of the victims of rioting.
Wow.
One floor for injured police, one floor for injured protesters, one floor for injured police family members. That's happening right now.
Wow.
Wow, they didn't have any space for media, but okay. So, we have the infidel, so thank
that's
you.
That's right, you got your infidel armor, so you're fine.
Body armor. It's a lot of stuff going on here. People are making preparations, you know, regardless if you think this is a big deal or not. The people here are making serious preparations. You just heard about the hospital. The National Guard is ready to move. We see the cops already out in riot gear. At least they go out to the protests there in riot gear and all that. So the people here on the ground are taking this very seriously. The majority of people I've talked to since I've been here, they're peaceful people. They do expect some agent provocateurs. If you guys see that video I posted, not last night, but the night before, and I talked to the guy in the Guy Fawkes mask, and he was saying that the majority of the people here are good, peaceful people, but they do expect the agent provocateurs and people who just want to come in and kick up stuff to burn down, to riot, to loot. They do expect those people to come in, but by and large, the crowds here are mostly peaceful.
Oh, absolutely. And as you guys reported earlier this week, gun sales are up 300%. In some cases at some of these stores, they're saying that 75% of those sales are first-time gun owners. So you guys have got your infidel body armor there. Hopefully you're going to be safe in this. But like you said, they don't have a floor for reporters. That's amazing news. They've cleared away three floors, one for protesters, one for police, and one for the families of police. That's what I'm concerned about, and that's that kind of agent provocateuring where
you remember, David, yeah. They came out earlier this week. the list of the targets got released. You know, as many things on there, including Monsanto, other local businesses, and also many officers' families. And to anybody out there watching, if you think that targeting the families of these officers is going to do anything besides just agitate them to the point where they will have no patience, I'm not exactly sure what you're expecting to happen.
It just feeds the narrative that this is a war zone, and that's not what the message we need to be sending to our police. We need to be sending a different message to them. Well, thank you, Jakari. We're going to stay up with you to see what's happening there. Of course, there's a press release coming up. We have agent provocateurs that are covert. We also have overt agent provocateurs like Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, the FBI informant.
The average person's life is filled with unexpected challenges. Unlock the energy it takes to defeat these daily beasts with Super Male or Super Female Vitality, specifically designed to assist the body in regulating proper hormone balance to create superior vitality in males and females. Supercharge and conquer your world at InfoWarsLife.com or call 1-888-253-3139.
Introducing the first proprietary oxygen-based intestinal cleanser, OxyPowder. Backed by FDA-approved phase 1, 2, and 3 clinical trials, all the toxins from the air, the food, the water, ultimately ends up in the gut or affects the gut. Take your health into your own hands and start cleansing your body today with OxyPowder. Secure your OxyPowder today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
A convenience store confrontation ended in tragedy after a man suspected of being in the country illegally approached and stabbed a college football player to death. Police in McMinnville, Oregon are still baffled as to why 33-year-old
Juventino Bermudez Arenas
attacked 20-year-old Linfield College student Parker Moore after entering a 7-Eleven convenience store last Saturday night. Police, however, say when Bermudez Arenas went back to the store, he allegedly refused orders to drop a knife in his possession, prompting police to open fire on him, killing him dead. Bermudez Arenas' family is also puzzled as to why he might have carried out the violent attack, as he reportedly did not have mental health issues, used drugs or drink, and was not involved in gang activity. Yesterday, investigators revealed Bermudez Arenas was likely living in the U.S. illegally, though he'd worked in the country since at least the year 2000. During a previous run-in with the law, he had given police a variation of his name, Juventino Bermudez. Police say there is no connection between Moore and his assailant and that the attack appeared to be random. Moore was a college student majoring in business management. He was also a resident advisor and linebacker with the Linfield Wildcats, which just proceeded to the NCAA Division III playoffs after a shutout victory on Saturday.
Man of character, extremely talented. Three factors that are really hard to find when we're recruiting guys. And every coach that we had on our staff fell in love with Parker the minute we met him.
An investigation into the incident is still ongoing. It is not clear if Bermudez Arenas had ever come into contact with federal immigration agencies.
In fact, we're just beginning to recognize how much pain there is.
Infowars.com.
You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force from InfoWars Life.
Another major health threat, this one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hundreds of thousands of people have been marching through the streets of Mexico in recent weeks. They are protesting against the government's response to the disappearance and likely massacre of 43 students there. So just to give you a little bit of background, 2 months ago, 43 students in Mexico disappeared after police opened fire on buses that these protesting students were in. They killed 6 people, wounded 16 other students, and those who didn't manage to escape were then handed over to a local drug trafficking gang. And then, according to taped testimonies, 3 men who identified as the killers said they took the group of 43 or 44 young students to the dump and used diesel, gasoline, and tires to burn the students in a fire that lasted for 15 hours. Now, why all of this? Well, according to an investigation by the country's attorney general, the mayor there ordered the police to detain the protesting students because he did not want them to disrupt his wife's political speech. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Mark Katz. He is a 20-year resident of Mexico, and he's here to just give us a little bit of insight into the collapse state of Mexico. It is basically collapsing under the weight of corruption. So, Mark, thank you for joining us. Now, before we get into this particular story, can you just kind of give us an idea of what's the atmosphere like there in this country?
Okay, well, the first thing is, Mexico is actually quite a rich country. It is now the 11th largest economy in the world in nominal GDP terms. But of course, the income distribution is a problem. In GDP per capita, it's about 65th on the list. Currently, there have been 6 major structural reforms passed in Mexico over the last 2 years by the current president, who's from the PRI party. And each of these is actually like Obamacare on steroids. They all require constitutional changes, et cetera. So any freedom for the people that existed before has basically been stamped out on paper. And the people are generally upset with the government. One of the biggest differences, I would say, between Mexico and the U.S. and Canada, where I'm from, is that the people here don't have any illusions about the government. They know that the government is not on their side. You know, they don't believe a word that the government says. So that's a little bit of the background to this particular incident in Ayotzinapa.
And I guess that kind of leads us now to the probable massacre of these 43 students, maybe due to some of these reforms, is why you mentioned that they happen to commandeer buses, and they'll commandeer these buses that will help take them to protests and other events like that because they've had a lot of budget cuts, if you will. So bring us up to speed with how could something like this happen, and just kind of talk to us about this story a little bit.
Okay, well, a little background to this particular incident in the state of Guerrero. The state of Guerrero has a long history of civil protest, social resistance. This goes back to the 60s, the 70s, in what was called the Dirty War, where the government cracked down against all kinds of social groups. Now, the school that these students are from is called their Escuela Normal, and it's basically a school for very, very poor rural students to go and become teachers to go and teach in other rural schools. And part of their training there is, besides the government curriculum, is they actually get trained in, we could say, social issues with a bit of a Marxist bent. There's no question. But they are perhaps, you know, one of the only institutions in the country where, you know, where the people here are getting more of the real story, so to speak, you know, more of the things that would be discussed here on InfoWars, you know. Because the government, there's been a campaign against these schools for many years to shut them down, to disappear them, in fact. And, you know, this incident, this current incident is nothing new. There have been disappearances and killings of social activists in Guerrero, like I said, from the 60s, from the 70s. But even recently, you know, in the last couple of years under the governor who resigned over this incident and the mayor who was arrested, you know, because he went on the run over this incident, there have been many, many activists who have been killed or disappeared. So the difference with this current incident is just the magnitude of it, you know, 43 all at one time. It's a little bit of... Now, as to why, you know, why something like this would happen, that's really the big question, that there are no clear answers. You know, all these incidents, every time something like this happens in Mexico, it's got to be the most bizarre, surreal, you know, truth being way stranger than any fiction situation. Always, you know, there's always multiple contradictory versions. And, of course, the government... keeps changing their official story on a daily basis, basically.
Right. It's just, it's so unbelievable for me to think that a mayor could order the police there to take these students, how it got so out of hand to where they're actually firing upon students, killing innocent bystanders as well as some students there. Then they hand students over to a drug cartel who kidnaps them and according to three of them who say they were the killers, they burn them, throw them in this pit and burn them for a period of over 15 hours.
Government officials say the charred remains were so badly burned, some turned to dust upon contact, although they stressed every effort would be made to identify the bodies. Officials say a group of corrupt police working with a local drug gang abducted the students after clashes in the state of Guerrero in late September.
All because the mayor didn't want them to disrupt his wife's political speech.
Right.
I mean, that's just insane. Here we're protesting against, you know, police killing people here, unarmed teen Michael Brown, of course. But this is like to the nth degree of political corruption here. And then you're dealing with the police that are in collusion with the drug cartels who kind of have ties to the mayor. I mean, does this sort of thing just happen, I guess, 2006, really, with the drug war? But has it been going on a very long time? Did this just happen overnight, so to speak?
Oh no, this is nothing new. This is nothing new. Of course, you know, Alex always says that Mexico is a failed state, and that is true in some ways, but it is not necessarily a failed state. It's a mafia slash narco state. And this incident really highlights that, you know, there's a fine line or no line between the narcos and the politicians. They're, you know, they're all bought off. They're all in cahoots, some way or another. And in this particular case, I don't know if you realize that the mayor's wife, her father and brothers were actually part of the cartel that supposedly took these students. So, you know, there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye. I mean, there's real, you know, there were actually many complaints about this mayor, you know, for at least a year or more. So it was well known that this mayor was, you know, potentially in bed with the narcos, literally in this case. And they didn't do anything about it. You know, the governor didn't do anything about it. The president didn't do anything about it. So, you know, also since the drug war happened in, you know, 2006, 2007, there has been a militarization of the police here along the same lines as in the U.S. And in fact, that militarization is funded by the U.S. through Plata Carita.
But they're not protecting the citizens. I mean,
of course not. Of course not. Now, the other factor here is, you know, the military themselves, because there's a military base not too far from where this incident took place. That military base has been accused of protecting the opium trade, which is centered on the city of Iguala, where this incident took place. There are reports that the commander of the base was actually sitting right next to the mayor during that, you know, during his wife's political presentation, so to speak, you know, during this incident. So there's a lot of questions as to what the military, you know, military's involvement is and what they did or did not do during this incident as well.
Right. It was so insulting. They basically said, well, we didn't know what was going on because we were too busy dancing and drinking wine at this party. So we had no idea that these people were being killed. Meanwhile, the mayor's the one that orders this hit. And it's also very telling. Attorney General Murillo basically dismissed a question. They wanted to know why soldiers nor federal police intervened when the municipal police were shooting and attacking these students. And he said, if the army had come at that moment, who would they have supported? Obviously, the answer would have been the legal authorities, basically saying he wouldn't have even helped. They wouldn't have helped the students. They would have just joined in with the police who were shooting at these buses. Well, so we know that, you know, you sent me an email. You said that obviously tens of thousands of people took to the streets yesterday, but this isn't even the biggest planned event. That one is coming up here December 1st. So what do people need to know? What can people do for this situation?
Well, there, you know, the thing about these particular protests is that they're relatively widespread, and there's no real central organization. Now, there was a national strike being talked about for yesterday, the 20th of November, which is the anniversary of the revolution, the Mexican Revolution. But they apparently decided to move the national strike to December 1st. Now, all of these protests going on, both in Mexico and worldwide, I mean, it's unprecedented in the global sense. But one thing, you know, people have to realize about these protests here in Mexico is that, you know, there are protests of this magnitude happening, I mean, almost literally every day. I mean, Mexico City has been paralyzed.
People are outraged. I mean, rightly so. The entire country is outraged. They are burning buildings down, and rightfully so. I can't blame them.
Now, we have to be careful with these, you know, with these acts of vandalism, because there's a lot of indication, and it's my feeling personally, that these are provocateur incidents, really, because the one that took place a couple weeks ago where they burned the door of the National Palace, you know, basically the police stepped aside, they let them do it, they didn't stop them. So one has to really ask what's really going on. You know, this is very reminiscent of a lot of the incidents that took place, let's say, even in Toronto during the G8 summit, where they turned over a police car and they basically let them do it. I mean, it's very, very reminiscent of those types of things. Now, the other thing I'd like to point out is that, you know, there have been massive protests on other issues here. For example, the education reform, which was, by the way, written by the OECD, basically. There were massive protests here of the same magnitude, hundreds of thousands of people, for the better part of a year, and nothing happened. There was no action taken by the part of the government. The government is very good at sitting it out, basically. You know, letting the people go out and protest, but in the end, nothing really changes.
Right. And that's what's really troubling. Well, thank you so much. And I think that we'll probably check in with you to see if anything is going to be happening now with one of these bigger protests. But obviously, keeping on this story, I mean, I feel sort of helpless. I mean, what really can people do? The corruption is so rampant there. But thank you so much, Mark, for calling in and breaking this down for us.
Glad to be here, Leanne.
And this is why it is so important for us to check corruption when it's allowed to set policy unimpeded. What you'll end up with is a mafia-style government who's just going to set the agenda for its own political gains to the detriment of the public's interest. So hopefully we'll definitely get to check back in with Mark coming up in December, follow this story and shine the light on this corruption and not allow it to fester over into our own country. Well, thank you for joining the show tonight. If you're watching us on YouTube, please become a subscriber to the Alex Jones YouTube channel and then head over to Prison Planet and pick up a subscription. You can now share your username and password with up to 20 people at the same time. And of course, your subscription allows us to bring you the InfoWars nightly news and everything else. We'll see you here Monday, 7 p.m. Central.
Celebrate the spirit of freedom and liberty upon which our nation was founded at InfoWarsShop.com. Molon Lave is ancient Greek for come and take it. This popular design combines both classic Greek Spartan imagery with modern M16 assault rifles. Now available in women's tees and proudly made in the USA. Celebrate the spirit of 1776 with the George Washington brass belt buckle or this incredibly sharp-looking 1776 hat. Badass. And be sure to check out the new arrivals at InfoWars Life, where you can prepare your body to perform at peak levels with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine, Super Male Vitality, and Fluoride Shield. And wake up, America. Immune Support Blend is the healthy choice for the gourmet coffee lover. So get incredibly high-quality freedom-based products and help fund the revolution at InfoWarsShop.com.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. Members can share their passcodes with up to 11 other people, and your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.